We're going to be closing up a teaching series that we've been in for the last 4 weeks, and it's called Like a Child. And I've expressed several times that it is a very simple message, and my job as a pastor, as a communicator, is to set these truths out for us, and not to try and prepare something that will blow your mind away, because there isn't anything new under the sun. And literally all I'm trying to do is take God's word, which are our plumb line, and I'm putting them out, and I'm saying, look, here's his truth. Let it stretch you. You ask questions. If you've got doubts or fears or you don't understand, guess what? Bring it all. We welcome all of that. We're glad to have people who are all over the board on this. So as we go into today's message, this is the one verse that has helped to guide the entire series, and it's found in the book of Mark, and it's chapter 10, verse 15, and it's telling us to be like children, to receive the word of God, the kingdom of God, everything that is spiritually related to God, his son Jesus. And here's the instruction that's given to us. Receive it. How? Like a child. A couple weeks ago, a friend showed up on Sunday morning prior to us beginning, and she brought a game for our kids, a minion game. Like, it's like a memory game. You know what I'm talking about? Little minions and crazy hair and different outfits and stuff. And as soon as the kids saw her with the gift, they like stretched their arms out, they grabbed it, they pulled the plastic off, and they sat at that table and started to play. And they invited people to play with them. They didn't ask her questions. They didn't say, hey, how much did it cost? What store did you get it? Did you have a Groupon to be able to buy it at the right price? Is this appropriate for my age? They just like, thank you, gave her a hug, received it, and put it down and started to play with it. I believe in a way that that's how we should receive God's word, that the cynicism that we have built up in our own lives, just because life is tough and we do tend to protect ourselves from different things, and we have been backstabbed, and for some of us we still have wounds there from maybe church or spiritual ideas, and we've maybe done the same, have done some backstabbing of our own, and just life tends to put a layer on our hearts of cynicism, right? We look at something, we're like, hold on, let me dig deeper and let me pull back that shellac layer and go a little bit deeper. And then after that, I'm going to put that against my opinion and what I have been told and the way I was raised. So many times, instead of just receiving God's truth, we're like, wait, who's trying to pull the wool over my eyes? And we're defensive, and we're like, nobody's going to tell me how to do that. Unless, and here's a big invitation for us, unless we understand that he is a good father who has good things for his kids that will help us to live a life that he's designed for us the best possible way. Not because he restricts us from things, but because he says, hey, I designed you, and this is a way to live life according to how I designed you. Think about the fish. The fish lives in water, right? Why? Because he's restricted to walk on the sidewalk? No, because the creator knows that the fish lives a fulfilled life in that environment. It's not restrictive that he can't walk along the Katy Trail. The designer knows that the fish is more efficient in the water, in his proper environment. So as we close out today, man, I ask boldly, humbly, that you just open up your heart this morning, wherever you're at. Doubt, don't care, don't want to be here. I kind of do get it. Now, we welcome all those levels, all those positions, all those different spheres. But just try to receive today. And then just let it do whatever it can in your heart and in your mind. So just accept like a kid, right? If you are a note taker on your smartphone, then the title for today's message is Nothing is Impossible for Jesus. Again, extremely simple message. I'm going to tie it up at the end. And at that point, there's going to be some truths on the table, and there's going to be like a water, that something over here that feels like water that will refresh you. And then you can choose to walk towards the water or say, I'm good. And whatever you decide to do, our job is to put that out on the table. Love each other through it, and then let whatever the word does do it by itself, right? So I'm going to share a couple of stories. You might be familiar with these. If you're not, then I hope as I go through them that you're kind of enticed by them. And if you've heard them, then just maybe you hear them today again, kind of for the first time with a different mindset, with the mindset of a child. So John chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here. There was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana. Jesus' mother, Jesus, and his disciples were invited to the celebration. The wine supply, we need wine for a good party, right? The wine supply runs out during the festivities, and standing nearby were six stone water jars. Each could hold 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told the servants, fill the jars with water. When the jars had been filled, he said, now dip some out and take it to the master of ceremonies. When the master of ceremonies tasted the water that was now wine, he called the bridegroom over and said, you've kept the best until now. Receive like a kid. There is no wine. Jesus tells the servants at the party to fill up the jugs with water, and what was water turns into wine. Another story, in case you don't like wine. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat. A fierce storm. And it's breaking into the boat. Not a yacht with flat screen TVs and bottles of champagne in the cooler. A boat that they built by hand, probably some pieces of wood put together. And now there's a fierce storm and it's breaking into the boat. Where's Jesus? Jesus is taking a nap. The disciples went and woke him up shouting, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. So they've seen him perform different types of miracles. They know he can help. That's why they go to him and in a way do something super important. They surrender to him. They call him like Lord. Not just good teacher, not just smart guy, not just wise dude, not just powerful guy. Like Lord, like I surrender. They say, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? Kind of comical, right? Out in the sea, the wind, the waves, the boat is shaking. There's water in their faces. They're drenched. And he's like, what's up, dude? What? Why are you afraid? You have so little faith, he tells him. Then he got up, commanded the wind and the waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. Why were they amazed? Because he speaks and Mother Nature obeys him. No more wind, no more waves, no more crashing against the boat. Who is this man? They asked. Even the winds and the waves obey him. Receive it. Like a kid. Story. Jesus creates wine out of water. Something normal becomes something extraordinary. Mother Nature is about to flip these guys into a raging sea. He speaks and everything changes. Maybe you don't like wine or wind. Here's another one. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. There's a blind beggar. His name is Bartimaeus, and he was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was nearby, he began to shout. Why did he begin to shout? Because he probably had heard stories about Jesus. Like you hear stories about people who you work with in the office, and then you're like, hey, she's really good at those Excel spreadsheets and that analytical stuff. Why don't you go hook up with her so she can help you do that? Or, hey, you know, she knows the guy down the road and he can help with that project. And just like people talk, right? So Bartimaeus had heard that Jesus can do some stuff. He like creates wine out of water. Jesus like calms the storms. So Bartimaeus, in his need, says, I know who to reach out to. And he's like, close by, and I'm not going to give up my shot. So he starts to shout, Jesus, Have mercy on me. What does that mean? Help me. And the folks say, be quiet. Many of the people yelled at him. But what did he do? He shouted louder because he really wanted help. He really needed some mercy. I don't know about you, but man, times in my life when I need mercy. Like, stop, please, show up. Jesus kindly, lovingly, tenderly asked, What do you want me to do for you? Bartimaeus responds and says, my rabbi, my teacher, I want to see. Do you see how simple that prayer is? That's just prayer. No getting on his knees, no clasping of hands, no, hold on, let me go lock myself into a closet. He's like, here's my need. Will you allow me to see? I want to see. And Jesus said to him, go, for your faith has healed you. Instantly, the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. So much here. So much here. There's a need. He's heard about Jesus. He knows that nothing is impossible for Jesus. And immediately, Jesus chooses to gracefully and mercifully respond. Maybe you don't like the story about the wine. Maybe you don't like the story about the wind. Maybe you don't like blind people. Let me share a little bit more personal story. Several years ago, my daughter started to have some pain in her lower jaw. We took her to her dentist, and the dentist looked at her mouth and said her jaw is very petite, and her teeth don't have space to grow, so she needs braces. The insurance we have doesn't cover braces. The cost of braces, after going to a couple places, it would be anywhere between $4,000 and $5,000, and we didn't have $4,000 or $5,000 under our mattress. So, as a parent, it's not really cool to be able to say my kid has a need, not just a desire, right? Because it's not like, yay, I love braces. But she's like in pain, and she like weeps periodically, and she's like, this hurts, and I need some help. So there's a dilemma there, right? In a way, I'm like Bartimaeus, and I'm like, Jesus, have mercy, right? And people are like, shut up, Oyo, nobody's going to help you out. And my wife and I kind of sit down, and we're like, what do we do? You know, how do we produce more income to be able to take care of this need? And my 10-year-old daughter and I sit down one night, and she says, Dad, let's pray. And I'm the guy who's like, no, hold on. What we need to do is actually go look for more orthodontists, and we'll find a really cheap one who'll do it for a couple $100, and your teeth will fall out tomorrow, but it's all right. And, you know, I'm trying to manipulate all this in my mind. Like, what can we do? What can I sell? What can I go pawn? What can I move and finagle and negotiate? I do all these things, right? And our child, who is 10, with childlike faith, says, Jesus can do anything, right, Dad? And just like a heart check. Like, yeah. Yeah. So she prays. This was back in late December. And in January, we have a couple of friends who had heard about her need for braces. And long story short is, we had a couple different friends come through with $4,400, which we were able to pay for all of her braces treatment. Don't miss what I did here. I was trying to make it happen. Jesus was too small for me. The problem was too large. The blind man who was healed meant nothing to me. The wind that was calmed by Jesus was out of it. The wine that was what came out from the water, that meant nothing. Stories. And I was skeptical and cynical. I'm like, that's not for me. Cute story in the Bible, right? And Jesus is whispering to me through my daughter, nothing is impossible. Nothing is too difficult. If we try to grasp it with all of our theological minds, we're going to miss it. He says, become like a child. Forget about the Greek meaning of it, the Hebrew meaning. We can sit down over coffee and I'll share that later. Grasp like a child. Nothing is too difficult for Jesus. So we have pictures here of the morning we go in to get braces, the doctor's putting her brackets on there, and we walk out of there, and my daughter says, you remember we prayed for this day? You know how much money came out of our pocket? Zero. Like, it's difficult sometimes to get a sandwich paid for you by a friend, right? And we had folks say, you guys need $4,400 for braces? I can make that happen. The story is not about braces. The story is not about our friends with $4,400. The story is about Jesus. The story is about His faithfulness. Even when we are unfaithful and unbelieving, He's the one who steps in, says, when you're weak, I'm strong. When you doubt, I'm there. When you're kicking the tires and trying to find out, He says, I'm still there, because my relationship with you is not contingent upon what you do or don't do. My relationship is me pursuing you because I'm the hound of heaven and I love you and you're my daughter and I know you by name. That's who Jesus is. What areas in your life, plural, what areas of your life do you need Jesus to step into and just show up in a miraculous way? Like, for a moment, be real with yourself. No Facebook kind of like facade. Like, deep hurts, deep needs, physical, spiritual, financial, relational. I need that relationship to be healed. I want Him to provide for that. And I'm hurt and the anxiety gets me, and this hate I have and this pain that's been caused to me and pain that I've caused, I just need Him to show up. I need that opportunity to come through. What are those things for you? Believe He can. Don't miss that throughout this message, I'm not trying to get you to believe me. My job is not to convince you to be less skeptical about me. I'm a man. I'm broken. I mess up in many ways, daily, moment by moment. What I am trying to do is to get you to be less skeptical about Jesus. That we would not only say that we believe in Jesus, but that we would believe the Jesus we say we believe in. Do you see the difference there? I believe in Jesus, cosmic, distant, there. But I believe the one who says that He holds me, that He is for me and not against me. The one who says in Jeremiah 29, I have a good plan for you. Not a plan of evil, but a plan of good. The one who says, when you are strong, I am weak. And in Isaiah 41:10, He says, I hold you from your right hand. And when you are too weak to get up, I bend down and pick you up, because you are my son and you are my daughter, and I uphold you. The one who says, I forgive you. And there is nothing in your life or my life that repels us from His love, because He is constantly pursuing, loving, saying, mine, 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 mine. That's the good news of Jesus. Believe He can. Believe He will. We saw what He did with water. We see what He does with the storm out at sea. We saw what He did with the blind man. We saw what He did with my daughter. He loves to give good gifts to His children. I invite us all to receive like a child. Arms open, deep joy. I don't get it, and that's okay. Our job is not to be spiritual champs and say, I achieved it. Just believe that what He sends our way is to grow us step by step, breath by breath, a little bit closer to Him more each and every day. So here's the good news I will close up for all of us. It's to remember that nothing is impossible for Jesus, and wherever you're at this morning with all of your doubts, fears, anxieties, faith questions, that you would know today that He would reveal Himself to you today in a very personal way. You have no doubt that His love for you is real. It's not your achievements, lack of achievements, relationship, lack of relationships. It's like, hey, I'm for you. I hurt with you. I hear you. I'm close to you. His love is real. And it's abundant. It's unconditional. And it's irrevocable. Nothing takes it away. Jesus, thank you for the good news, for reminding us that you are near, that nothing is impossible for you. Encourage our hearts. Let us be like children, arms open, receiving the goodness of your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen.